The thought this morning is no more bondage. And really, if you want to make an equation out of it, then you can say it equals freedom. Yes. So just a few days ago, was a recognized day as our Independence Day, July 4th. And, you know, we have freedoms that we have in our country. And you know that those freedoms that we have, they weren't just given to us. You know, most of us were born into freedom. Some maybe experienced other types of bondage that happened in our country. But the majority of us were just, we were born and we have freedoms. There's freedoms that we have in our country. But I want you to know this morning that, and I'm sure the historians in the crowd could explain this a lot better than I could, but I want you to know that there was some bloodshed for the freedom that we have in our country today. I want you to know there was some lives that were lost because of the freedom that we have today. I want you to know this morning that it cost something. And there are still people that are giving service in their lives today to help us to maintain the freedom that we have. Yeah. All right. I didn't realize this. It was one of the things that seemed that the Lord had brought to my mind, but I realized it came from somewhere. And I found out that it did come. So the Korean War Veterans Memorial, it says you'll find the words, freedom is not free. So what that helps us to know is that it costs something. Yes. Someone paid a price for the freedom that we have in our world today, in terms of our country that we live in. And you know, above all that, there was a price that was paid for each and every one of us individually. Because we was held in the bondage of sin. But you know, there was a price that was paid to release us from the bondage of sin and enable us to be free, to have freedom. And you know, there was cost of life, some bloodshed. Jesus, he bled for us. He came into this world and he bled and he died. And he died, but then he rose again. You know, thank the Lord he rose again and he paid the price so we don't have to be no more in bondage, that we can be free moral agents. And it's because of the blood and the life that Jesus Christ died for. He died to make that possible for each and every one of us. Bondage is defined as servitude to a controlling force or person. And I'd like to even give us a little bit more. The definition of the bondage of sin is being governed by the laws of sin and Satan. See, we're no more in bondage. God came to set us free from all of that. So we don't have to be without control, just being under the hand of the enemy. God released us from that. And there's a familiar verse of scripture that's found in the 8th chapter of John. And it's the 36th verse. John 8 and 36.
If the Son therefore shall make you free,
ye shall be free indeed. See, if the Son now, the Son of God, he came down unto this world and he died for us. And it says Jesus, he spoke these words, and this was before he died. But he said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What that means is no more bondage. No more bondage. Bondage from what? There's a song where the songwriter began to identify some of the things that we've been made free from. Yeah. All right? So if you are being held bondage by these things this morning, I want you to know no more. There's no more bondage. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. I'm free from carnal affections. If there's some carnality within you and I, Jesus came to set us free from that. Free from envy. You know, I don't have to have envy. I don't have to have a desire for something else that somebody else has. There's no more bond. I don't have to be held bondage by that. God came to set us free from all that. Free from carnal, from envy, from hatred. I don't have to hate anybody. The song says, it makes me love everybody. That's what Jesus came to do. I'm not held bondage by hatred and all those things. The love of God is flowing through me. You know, we recognize that we don't, sometimes individuals do things that we dislike.
That's right.
But you know, we have to recognize who the master is.
That's right.
And we also have to realize, I was once there too.
Yeah.
See, there was things that I did that I didn't want to do. And other people were affected by them.
Yeah.
Oh, but I can have God's love flowing in me.
Amen.
I can be free from hatred and from strife.
I
don't have to have a looking at my brother and my sister and see God show is blessing them. Why isn't he blessing me that way? I don't have to have that. No more bondage. The same God that they serving, you can serve him too. And if you're not in the place where he wants you to be in, where he can bless you, get to that place then. God can do that for us. What about worldly ambition? I can be free from all those too. Because why? I know we got to live in this world. It's just part of life. We have to live here. But you know, we don't have to have the things of this world to control us. God is in control. He can supply our every need. So I don't have to be held in bondage by those things. Well, I have to do this. I have to do that. God will take care of it. What about pride? I don't have to held bondage by pride. God came to set us free from all that. That doesn't have to control me. God has freedom from all that this morning. What about follies? Follies is without good sense or forethought. Well, maybe, some people, it's just the way I am. I just don't think things out. God can set you free from that too this morning. No more bondage. He came to set us free from all these things. What about the love of money? I don't have to love. I know we need it. We need it to live, but you know what? God can make it so it don't have such a grip and hold on me that it can have. I know we need money to live, and I mean, if you asked it, if you had a couple more hundreds or thousands, would you be okay with that? I'm sure most of us would say, I'd be fine with me. But you know what? We don't have to love it. We don't have to love it. God can supply what we need. And you know what? He does, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He know what we need, and he know how much we can handle. So, Lord, give me what I need and what I can handle. And then whatever else, Lord, you just take care of it. I don't have to be held by, well, I need to do this. And God has something better for us this morning. Freedom from evil. Just, you know, that's the enemy. I don't have to, those thoughts and things that the enemy brings, we can just cast them aside. We can be free from all of those things. Anger. If you're held by anger this morning, God has something better. No more bondage. You don't have to be held captive by that. God is here. He came to set us free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He came for all of these things. Heard about fear a little bit this morning in Sunday school, didn't we? We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. God came to set us free from all of that. You know what? That you can go on and on with the list. These are some of the things that the songwriter made reference to in glorious freedom. But there's many more. If I could just summarize it, I would say all things that are contrary to the word the way and the will of God.
Amen.
God came to set us free from all that. And we can sing like the song says, the victory is mine. Because of what Jesus said, he said that the Son has set us free, we are free indeed.
Amen.
The victory is mine, and by the help of the Lord, I can go and claim it.
Amen.
And I can change my association. When we go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 18th verse.
Being then made free from sin,
ye become the servants of righteousness. Wait a minute now. So I've been set free. I'm no longer held captive. I'm no longer bound by sin. I can be made a servant of righteousness. The Amplified says, having been set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action of God.
Amen.
So, well, now you're going to serve somebody. I'm going to just tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to serve anyone. Well, yes, you are. You can say you're not, but you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil.
That's right.
Hey, so it is what it is. So you might as well be a servant of righteousness.
Right.
And just have your desire to be, Lord, what is your will?
Yeah.
See, that's a willing servant.
Yeah.
It's not something that he pounds over our heads or forces us to do things. We're willing. We're free more. He set us free.
Yeah.
We're free agents. And you know what? It's what it does to us. It changes our whole attitude, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because then we think about, Lord, you've done all this for me.
Yeah.
And all that you're asking me is to be willing.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm willing. And then you say along the way that you'll help me out. If I have a little trouble submitting and surrendering myself to your divine will, if you tell me, Lord, to do something and I can't quite grasp it in my mind, that you'll work with me. Isn't that wonderful? But see, that's what now we're servants of righteousness. Because there's a willingness within us because of a change that's taken place within us to, Lord, I'm willing to do what you would have me to do. You know this, what Jesus did for us. It was prophesied in Isaiah. In a few chapters. Talks about what he was going to be and what he was going to do. And then it's confirmed in the New Testament. And in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, we're familiar with this. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So this was illustrated in the Old Testament of one that was going to come, and he was going to, the prophesying of this Messiah whose person and character was going to be one of the writer said, the person and character of this great deliverer, then set forth in the most magnificent terms, which the language of mankind could furnish. So in other words, what language was available to us endeavor to try to attempt to describe this Jesus that was coming for us. And the only words that were used to paint this picture for the one that was coming was these. And think about these words. Wonderful. Wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Yeah.
Eyes have seen, ears have heard. It's recorded in his word.
Amen.
Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Amen.
Wonderful. a Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We'll come back to these, some of these names and what they mean to each and every one of us. And then further in Isaiah, in the 61st chapter and the first verse, it talks about how God was going to use him. It talks about how he was going to be used of God. Isaiah 61:1.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. Anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to what? To bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives.
And the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
The opening of the prison to them who are bound. Amen. So he came, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to who?
Yeah.
To the captives.
Amen.
No more bondage.
Yeah.
He came, he's come to set us free. No more liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. But the encouragement here, the writer says the prophet had the Spirit of God move. You know, this is what this is the essence. And as I was reading this, I got a hold of this. So we have the Old Testament. And what we recognize in the Old Testament was there was particular times that God spoke to his vessels. Right? He spoke to them and they followed his instruction and they did what he told them to do. Some of them in terms of their writings and different things that they did. So there was times where God visited them and his anointing was upon them. But this is what's different in the New Testament. We can have it all the time. That's why he came, see? He came to be able, the writer is saying, is talking about be able to have the Spirit always resting on us without measure. So it's not he's here today, but not tomorrow. We can have him all the time. Guiding and leading and directing us as we journey along our pathways of life. So he's giving us he's instructing us. That's what he's done to those in the Old Testament. He inspired them to do what he wanted them to do. But now we have him with us. We can have him with us all the time. To give us daily, moment by moment, guidance and wisdom and direction in each and every one of our lives. And then that verse is prophesied, but then it's confirmed in the New Testament. We talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school in Luke, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. Very similar words that are used here. And this time, Jesus Christ is speaking these words. So in Isaiah, it was prophesied of what was going to take place. And now Jesus is on the earth dealing and working with the hearts and minds of men. And he's letting those there at that time know this is what God is doing now.
Yes.
He's saying this is happening now. It was talked about thousands of years ago, but now it's happening.
Yes.
Yes. In Luke, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse.
The Spirit of the Lord
is upon me.
Because he has anointed me
to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
Recovering of sight to the blind.
To set at liberty
them that are bruised. Very similar words here that are used. Notice, again, the root of it, deliverance, Proclaim liberty to the captives. Deliverance to the captives. No more bondage. That's why the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me. With him as he's letting this be known at that particular time. So when we think about all of these things, we recognize, and he was there in the earth doing those things. So now circle back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and consider how some of the names that he was given and the authority that was given to him by God, right? To free us, his creation. And it talks about what it's so wonderful. Wonderful. God is wonderful. It's wonderful in first in the fact that I don't have to be in bondage to sin. But the one that's wonderful is that he's with me daily, every day to help me along the way, that I have the privilege to be able to call on him and know that he's right there. The one songwriter says he lists to my heart's faintest cry. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Wait, and then one of the other names was a counselor.
Yes.
That he can be my counselor. Yes. That I can go to him and I can say, God, I don't quite understand. I need some help here. Yeah. Would you give me some clarity? Would you give me some understanding? Yeah. Would you help me to be able to grasp this?
Yeah.
And God, through his Spirit and his Word, can counsel us.
Yeah.
He's the best counselor that ever was and ever will be. Because not only can he help us, he can help us, he can change us, and then he can change situations too. There's no other counselor that you can go to that can do that. You can go somewhere and get counsel from somebody, but they're not going to be able to change you one iota, and they're not going to be able to change your situation either. But the God that we serve, it says, wonderful counselor. That's why he's the ultimate counselor, because he's working on us. And while he's working on us, he'll work on our situations. And even if he doesn't change the situations, what he does, the work that he does in us, it'll change our perspective, won't it? And then those situations may not even seem like what they were originally. Because of the work that God has done on us.
Amen.
Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. The mighty God. We serve the mighty God. We serve the God that created all of this. Is there anything that he can't do? How many times you read in the Word, is anything too hard for the Lord? With men it is impossible, but not with God. The song says did we sing that? Maybe it was on Wednesday night. Mighty God.
Yes.
Did we sing it this morning? Yes. What a mighty God we serve. Before I was in Sunday school, what a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
Reigning now above on his throne of love.
Yes.
What a mighty, he meets the waters in his hands. There's nothing that our God can't do. He's mighty God, the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. I'm going to say that one more time. The everlasting Father. That means there's no end. He always was, he is, and always will be. And then the Prince of Peace. He can speak peace to us. He can speak peace to circumstances. He can speak peace to situations.
Yes.
And there's, you know, we could take all day going through this Bible, couldn't we? And finding the God's word and his promises that he has given us. To show and prove every single one of those names to be true. And it's all right here in his word. There's that and much, much more. You know, as part of having been set free from bondage, You know we have a new name, right?
Yes.
We got a new name, don't we? Right? The verse says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So now we have a new name. Doesn't matter what your name was before. When you've been set free, when you no more bondage, when God has set you free from sin, you got a new name.
Yeah.
And you know what your name is? You're a child of God.
Yeah.
You're a child of God.
Amen.
That's a high calling.
Yeah.
But it's a blessed name to be able to say, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I've washed my blood. What does it say?
Washed
my robes in the cleansing fountain. I'm a child of God. You can say that this morning. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I want you to know this morning, if you're not a child of God, it's not too late.
Yeah.
He's still delivering from bondage today. And he can change your name today.
Yeah.
You can have a new name today.
Yeah.
You can say, I'm a child of God today.
Amen.
And come with a new name. You got a new attitude.
Yeah.
Don't you? You got a new attitude. Your mind is different because now what you recognize is God got my back.
Yeah.
See, before I was fighting against him, but since I've been set free now, he's with me. He's walking with me. He's standing behind me. He's got my back. I can depend on him. And I know that he's looking out for me. I got a new purpose too, right? Part of having a new name,
yeah.
New name, a new attitude, a new mindset, and a new purpose.
Right.
You know what that new purpose is? I'm here to serve you.
Right.
I'm here to serve you and to serve others. It changes now. It's not just about me and mine's, right? It's about, Lord, what can I do for you and your people? It's a complete change that happens to us. We made mention of that. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So that new name now, we're a child of God. Do we act like it? We have to, don't we? You know why we must? When we have that name, when we've been given that new name and say, I'm a child of God, you know, it's of utmost importance for us to act like it because there are so many pretenders out there. There are so many people in our world today that proclaim the name, but there's nothing behind it. When you say, I'm a child of God, it affects what you say, it affects what you do, and it affects how you act. And if it's not doing that, it's time for another dip. I don't know how else to say it. Because it should make a change. I got a new name now. See? And now what that also applies to. So there's some. Let me say it this way. When God does a work in us, there's an encouragement from his word to not go back. There's warning that's given to those that God has set free. He's made this great change within each and every one of us to free us from the bondage of sin, giving us a new name, giving us a new attitude and mindset, giving us a new purpose. But he's also given us some warning. And it's found in the 5th chapter of Galatians and the 1st verse.
Stand fast, therefore,
in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free,
be not entangled again
with the yoke of bondage. So here's the encouragement to all of us. God's released our burden of sin. We're no more in bondage. But then the encouragement is, don't go back.
That's right.
Don't go back. Do not, Amplified says, be hampered or held in snare. Because the price has already been paid. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God made us free. He made us. When we recognize all that he's done for us, it should affect us in such a way that I have no desire whatsoever to go back. And the instruction here is do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Just remember where you came from. Remember what God did for you. Remember what it was like to be tied up, tangled up, and choked up by the enemy of your soul. And don't go back to that anymore. No more bondage. Once he set you, whom the Son has set free, shall be free indeed. So part of us not going back is recognizing what God has for us. Recognizing that we have access to that mighty God that we're talking about. That we sung about earlier today. We have access to him not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday night. But all the time. All the time. I can call on him and he's right there. God omniscient. God all wise. With an ever searching eye. Look within. God is looking. See? But we have to look out too. I mean, we got to put in some work, right? We're knowing that he's right there. He's right there. I got to do my part too, though. He's available, but I got to be faithful. He's available, but I got to be faithful. And I have that. That's a privilege now. That's a privilege that I have because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, so he's available to me at all times. See, because my heritage is different now. Got a different lineage now. God is my father now. And Jesus, my brother. I've been adopted by heavenly love. No more bondage. I've been set free from all of that. So I have access to God. And as part of having access to God, I got some promises too, don't I? We have some promises that he has given to us. His trusting children. Now, does that mean that we're not going to face opposition? No. We're going to face opposition. There's going to be those that's going to oppose us. There's going to be those that fight against us. But you know, we have to recognize, again, the actions of individuals, where are they coming from? Right? And then remember, you know what? I was once in that crowd. I was once right there with those that are opposing and to try to do what they can to hinder what God is doing. I used to be one of them. But you know what? No more bondage now. God is available to me now. Just a few scriptures on some of the things that God desires to do for us. One, a familiar one in John, the 10th chapter, the 10th and the 11th verse. These are very familiar texts, these scriptures. Some of these scriptures, we've been hearing them over and over again. But they're still true. And they're promises that we can rely on and know. And they relate to this fact that we are no more in bondage. We've been set free. John 10. 10 and 11.
The thief cometh not.
The thief cometh not. But for to steal.
And to kill.
And to destroy.
I am come.
That they might have life.
And they might have it more abundantly.
I am the good shepherd.
I'm the good
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is talking here and he says the thief cometh not. In other words, that one that we used to be held in bondage to, the one that I released you from, his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Oh, but since I set you free now, since I released the bondage that you've been held captive by, I've came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And what that means for us is that we're not just dragging along. We have we're inspired to serve the Lord. When we say that I'm saved, that it means something. That it just not me, I'm hanging on. How you doing, brother? I'm hanging on. No, I'm saved. I'm inspired. I'm encouraged. I'm still fighting the devil, but I'm going on by the help and grace of God. You can say I got victory today, and by the help of the Lord, I'm going to have victory tomorrow. That's how we should be. He came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We're saying we're a child of God. Right?
Yes.
If I'm a child of God and I'm dragging along and the devil's beating me up and I'm just barely making it, how is that going to encourage somebody else?
Right.
He'll say, you want what I got? Not really. I'm just, Lord, help us. He said he came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. God is blessing me by the help and greater grace. Does that mean we're not going to have trials and tests? No. But you know, we can rise above them. By the help and grace of God, we can say, God is going, he's pulling me through. You know what? There's one thing they did. That, think about this. All of us face trials and tests, right?
Yeah.
We all do. But when someone say, how you doing? Oh, I'm in a battle. Lord, the devil's just, he's working me over. Oh, that's one way you could say. You know, I'm in a battle, but God is, he's blessing me every step of the way. You see the difference? Now, yes, I'm in a battle, but God is proving faithful. He's encouraging me along the way. He's giving me what I need, and I know victory's on the other side. It's a little, this whatever I'm going through is for a season, but I can see a God going to bring me through it. He came that I have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He's already done it for us. He's released us from bondage. Own it and claim it in the name of Jesus. We don't have to be held by these things. Whom the Son has set free shall be free indeed. There's another verse. Y'all have heard this one a couple times recently. But it applies here too.
Amen.
Hebrews,
Amen.
The 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Y'all could probably quote it. The brother mentioned it in his prayer. It's us. It's for us.
Yeah.
Right? It's part of being a child of God.
Amen.
It's part of our being freed from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
It's a privilege that we have.
Let us therefore
drag ourselves to the throne of... Oh. Oh, okay. Say, what does it say?
Let us therefore come boldly.
Come boldly?
Yeah, to the throne of grace.
To the throne of grace.
That we may obtain mercy.
And find grace to help in time of need. Now, what does it mean to, we can ask some of these children what it means to come boldly. When you want something, if you come in with, you know, well, I'm not going to even get it, but I'm going to ask, can I have a... So y'all children know, when you come confident and, mommy, can I have such and such? It's in the cabinet, it's right there. Actually, I have it in my hand already. Huh? You're talking about coming boldly now, right? The word says to come boldly to the throne of grace. We have that privilege. I'm a child of God. I can say, Lord, I need you now.
There's something I'm going through. I need something from you now, Lord. I know you have it for me. Would you give it to me, please, Lord? Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Time is moving on me. A few more scriptures I'd like to share as it relates to God being with this, being available to us. Another one in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and the 5th verse, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what things that ye have, for he hath said." He has said. He has said. He's the one that said, "Whom the Son has set free, you shall be free indeed." Then he also said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, what does that tell me? I got to do something now. It didn't say that he's not going to let me leave him or forsake him. He said he'll never leave me. So I got to stay connected to him. Then if I do that, I know he'll never leave me and never forsake me. He said it now. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I need you now. I need you with me in this situation. I need you, Lord. You said in your word. He set us free. These are the privileges that we have as part of being a child of God, because we've been released from the bondage of sin. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, does that mean that everything is going to be flowery beds of ease? No. Because in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 8th and 9th verse, it says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So in other words, I may face some opposition. I may come against those that are against me, and when they're against you, they're against God, because God is with you, right? Yeah. So you may face when you say persecution, well, we don't know what we may face in times to come, but what that means now is opposition. Somebody persecuting you is opposing what you stand for and what you believe. Yeah. So everybody's not going to agree. Everybody's not going to want to be freed from bondage. I mean, it seems real simple, doesn't it? But some people, I guess, they just like being in bondage. So what that means for us is, in those times that I might have to stand by myself, when I may not be surrounded. We go out into a world, in this world that we live in, our world does not consists of being in church all the time, where we're surrounded by those that love us and care for us as on the same journey of life that we're on. Sometimes we'll be surrounded by those that oppose us. But you know what? The encouragement in this verse is, but you're not forsaken. God is with us. And you know what he will do in those times? It says in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in the 17th and the 18th verse, it says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." So if you feel like you're all alone, just remember God's word. It said the Lord stood with me. And while he's standing with me, it says he stood with me. This is 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse. It said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Yes. He stood with me and strengthened me. This is the Apostle Paul giving some encouragement to Timothy. He was in some situations where he was endeavoring to minister the word of God, and he was facing opposition, and his encouragement to Brother Timothy was, God was with me. He stood with me and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So in other words, there was those that was opposing me, and Satan was fighting against me, but God stood with me and he strengthened me. You know, so that's the encouragement for each and every one of us. We may never stand behind a pulpit, but we preach with our lives. And we can be encouraged to know that when the enemy comes against us, that God will stand with us and he will strengthen us. And it says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. So he's going to give me what I need in this life to be victorious so that I can get my crown in heaven on the other side. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just one final thought as it relates to no more bondage. Why would you have dialogue with someone that opposes you? What good would it do? If you know there is somebody, let's say that you have opposing views about something, you know where you stand and you know where the other person stands, all right? What good is there going to be to try to convince them or just have dialogue back and forth? Where do you think that's going to go? It's not going to yield anything, right? Okay? So we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We got a new master now, right? We serve an almighty God. We're a child of God, right? The old master is gone, right? We don't serve the devil anymore, do we? Okay. So does it make sense to have a conversation with the one that you left behind? Then why do we? Why? The only conversation that we need to have with the devil is to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That's the only conversation. We don't need to entertain thoughts and things that he brings to our mind. We already know the thief cometh what? He came to steal and kill. And so why would you entertain anything that he's bringing to you? The only thing, again, devil, get out of here. Go on somewhere else. I got a new master now. And I have all these precious promises that he has given me in his word. And I know he said he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's going to stand with me. He's going to strengthen me. Amen. I'm going to hold on to what he's the one that released me from the bondage of sin. Amen. I don't want to hear nothing that you have to say. Amen. The only thing we need to say is, get thee hence, Satan. Yes. Get out of here. The word says, submit yourselves to the Lord. To submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This James 4:7. Submit yourselves. You've heard this one before, haven't you? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes. What it means to resist, it means to take a stand. Don't entertain. That's what it means. Take a stand against him and just don't entertain anything that he has. There's a song. It's titled, Who You Say I Am. The lyrics go like this. It says, who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free.
Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. I was a slave to sin. Jesus died for me. Oh, yes, he died for me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me now. See, I've got a new name. I've got a new heritage. I got a new house. I got a house not made with hands. And in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And in the bridge of this song, it says, I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. And because of that, I have all of these privileges that are available to me. Because whom the Son set free shall be free indeed. No more bondage this morning. You know, so I'm a child of God, and I have everything that comes with that title.
Yes.
So my encouragement this morning, remind yourself who you are. If you have to, just, I'm a child of God. I am who you say I am.
Yes.
Lord, you set me free. Yes. I've been, no more bondage.
Yes.
All those things that I used to carry and drag around like a heavy weight, they're gone. Don't pick them back up. No more bondage. So I'm a child of God. So my responsibility is to help. You know how I can remind myself of that all the time? By acting like it all the time?
Yes.
He said, come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
Did it give a qualification? Said, well, it depends on how serious the situation is.
No.
I mean, all of the promises that God has given us in his word, you know what our requirement is? To continue being faithful.
Yes.
So I can believe his promise in every situation. And you know what? All the promises that God has made for us in his word, they're not meant to collect dust. They're meant for us to use them. They're meant for us to use. No more bondage this morning. If you are still yoked up with the bondage of sin, I want you to know this morning the price has been paid for your freedom.
Yes.
That you can be released from all of that. And all of those, and those that have made us stand, that have been released from the bondage of sin, and God is intending that we have no bondage. All the things that we made reference to earlier in the message, don't hold on to those things.
Yeah.
Those are that's the enemy.
Yeah.
No more bondage. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I desire your prayers that I would represent that at all times. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.